Imagine a world where being shy makes you mentally ill, where grieving a loved one's death becomes a psychiatric disorder, and where childhood tantrums are treated with powerful antipsychotics. This isn't dystopian fiction, it's modern America, where 1 in 5 adults take psychiatric medication and millions of children receive mind-altering drugs for increasingly normal behaviors. Dr. Alan Francis, who chaired the DSM-IV Task Force, Psychiatry's Diagnostic Bible, delivers a shocking insider's account of how psychiatric diagnosis has spun dangerously out of control. What makes this exposé particularly powerful is that it comes not from an anti-psychiatry crusader, but from one of the field's most respected figures who helped create the very system he now criticizes. What constitutes normal mental health? This boundary proves remarkably difficult to define. Dictionaries offer circular definitions, while statistics show distributions but can't determine where health ends and disorder begins. Psychiatry faces an even greater challenge without laboratory tests for mental disorders. Despite advances in neuroscience, the brain's 100 billion neurons forming 100 trillion connections create complexity that makes fingerprints seem simplistic. Cultural perspectives further complicate matters. Human customs vary dramatically across time and place. Marriage at puberty was normal historically, but criminal today. Even within societies, statistical and moral norms diverge, as crime is statistically common, yet morally condemned. Normality balances resilience and fragility. Our biological, psychological, and social systems function through homeostasis, constantly seeking equilibrium. We're hardy survivors built to withstand diverse challenges. Even difficult emotions like sadness and grief serve adaptive purposes. While emotions may temporarily overwhelm us, homeostasis and time usually restore balance naturally. True psychiatric disorder occurs when this self-correcting process fails. Diagnostic inflation has multiple causes, requiring multiple solutions. Over 30 years, expanding diagnostic categories drove explosive growth in psychotropic drug use, generating profits that further inflated the diagnostic bubble. The theory that modern stress causes rising mental illness rates is unconvincing. Among countless generations, we are extraordinarily privileged. Previous generations faced unimaginable catastrophes daily. Our mental discomforts preoccupy us precisely because basic survival isn't our primary concern. Diagnostic inflation accelerates when psychiatric diagnoses become gatekeepers to resources. Originally clinical tools, diagnoses now influence administrative and financial decisions, creating pressure for up-diagnosis to help patients access benefits, services, or insurance coverage. Big Pharma has hijacked the medical enterprise through $60 billion annual marketing and lobbying. Their most profitable strategy involves convincing the worried well they need medication. The marketing pitch is seductive. Life is perfectible through chemistry, just as teeth can be straightened or muscles toned. Compelling imagery shows antidepressants turning rainy days sunny and transforming sad people into confident leaders. Primary care physicians now handle most psychiatric prescribing, 90% of anti-anxiety drugs, 80% of antidepressants, 65% of stimulants, and 50% of antipsychotics, creating a massive prescriber pool with minimal psychiatric training. Despite cautions in DSM-IV, 1994, three major false epidemics emerged as drug companies' colorful marketing overpowered dry diagnostic criteria. ADHD expanded from affecting a small percentage of troubled children to 10% of kids and many adults. The revealing evidence? Children born in January are 70% more likely to be diagnosed than December-born classmates. We're simply medicalizing normal developmental differences. Childhood bipolar disorder increased 40-fold in one decade. This previously rare condition became overdiagnosed when influential thought leaders abandoned traditional criteria requiring classic mood swings, instead reclassifying common childhood irritability as bipolar symptoms, creating a massive market for antipsychotics. The autism epidemic stems from three factors: improved surveillance, DSM-4's introduction of Asperger's disorder broadening the autism concept, and service-driven diagnoses. A feedback loop between advocacy and educational services created powerful incentives for diagnosis. Social phobia transformed everyday shyness into the third most common mental disorder. While truly debilitating social anxiety exists, it's rare. Drug companies effectively marketed to the much larger population of merely shy people, blurring the line between normal temperament and disorder. DSM-5's publication marks a concerning shift in psychiatric history, potentially transforming diagnostic inflation into hyperinflation. The new disruptive mood dysregulation disorder, DMDD, pathologizes childhood temper tantrums. Though created as an alternative to childhood bipolar disorder, its criteria fail to distinguish normal developmental behavior from pathology. Mild neurocognitive disorder will likely medicalize normal aging, despite careful criteria. While intended to identify early Alzheimer's risk, it lacks both accurate diagnostic tools and effective treatments. DSM-5's decision to ease depression diagnosis among the recently bereaved faces widespread opposition. Normal grief naturally produces symptoms identical to clinical depression: sadness, loss of interest, sleep, and appetite disturbances. Medicalizing grief reduces the dignity of the pain, interrupts natural processing, undermines cultural rituals, and leads to unnecessary medication. The proposed psychosis risk syndrome aimed for early intervention but fails by misidentifying many teens, with a 9-to-1 false positive rate in general practice, leading to unnecessary antipsychotic medication with serious side effects and stigmatizing those labeled, all without proven preventative benefits. For 40 years, we focused on illegal drugs, while prescription drug misuse has become a greater public health crisis, with 7% of Americans addicted and fatal overdoses exceeding those from illegal substances. Effective regulation would include banning direct-to-consumer advertising, prohibiting company-sponsored gifts and education for doctors, eliminating free samples, preventing off-label marketing, imposing penalties on executives, and establishing a quarantine period before regulators can join pharmaceutical companies. The loose diagnostic criteria in DSM need tightening, requiring more symptoms, longer durations, and greater impairment thresholds. We should stop adding new diagnoses without compelling reasons. DSM should be decoupled from non-clinical decisions. School services should be based on educational needs, disability benefits on functional impairment rather than diagnostic labels. We need a stepped approach to diagnosis. Gather baseline data, normalize problems as responses to life stresses, implement watchful waiting, offer minimal interventions like education and self-help resources, provide brief counseling, and only then move to definitive diagnosis and treatment if necessary. Nature consistently chooses diversity as its survival strategy, maintaining genetic variety at great cost to prepare for future environmental challenges. The Irish potato famine demonstrates the dangers of genetic uniformity. Human diversity served evolutionary purposes. Tribes benefited from narcissistic leaders for ambition, dependent followers for cohesion, paranoid individuals for threat detection, and compulsive doers for essential tasks. Even traits now labeled as disorders played crucial roles in human survival. Darwin recognized that emotions like sadness and anxiety have survival value. Grief motivates maintaining social bonds, fear alerts us to dangers, and anxiety drives preparation. These emotions become problematic only when persisting too long or reaching debilitating intensities. To save normal, we must distinguish between genuine disorders and natural variations in personality and emotion. Though diagnostic inflation seems overwhelming, science and public awareness may eventually challenge Big Pharma's medicalization of normal experiences, as happened with Big Tobacco. Hippocrates' wisdom remains our best guide. Be modest, know your limitations, and first, do no harm. Essential principles for preserving human difference.